Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
My Two Cents on Wrestling, the only place to relive the best and the worst of professional wrestling of all time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to My Two Cents on Wrestling. I am your host, Jed Williamson, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Al Miller. Al, how's it going?
Doing great. Getting excited for WrestleMania Night 2.
Absolutely. This is our pre-show. This is our kickoff show, or whatever you want to call it, prelude. This is our two-hour pre-show for WrestleMania 37 Night 2. And there is plenty to talk about from night one, which is what we are going to focus on this pre-show, is what took place last night. And then we, of course, are going to watch night two. And then we're going to come back right afterwards and talk about everything that happened tonight. That's a lot. It's a lot. I don't know why I sign up for these things, because it's a lot of wrestling in a very short period of time. You have Monday Night Raw, Stand and Deliver Night 1, Stand and Deliver Night 2, AEW. Then you had, you had Hall of Fame on Tuesday. Then you had Stand and Deliver Night 1 with AEW and Stand and Deliver Night 2. Then SmackDown, now WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 2. Then you have Raw. Then you got freaking NXT moving to Tuesdays. Then you got AEW again. Then you got UK on Thursday. Then Smack. You don't get a break from wrestling till freaking next Saturday.
That's all right, though.
That's a lot. And then we do 4 hours of talk show today. Hey, it's like I said on social media. I'm in heaven. It's a lot. It is a lot, but come next Saturday when there's no wrestling on, it's going to be weird and very welcome. Going to be like, break.
Right.
However, we are trying this whole video thing again. I hope it works. I'm not going to cross my fingers or anything, but I'm hoping that it works. We're not doing live on Facebook. We're just going to record video. It'll be on the playback, assuming that this works. I haven't gotten any warnings of skipping and pixelating and all that garbage, so just hope for the best. If you're tuning in on Blog Talk Radio, feel free to give us a call at 646-668-8672. We're not really going to be able to – actually, you know what? I'm going to do this and just see if it comes through.
If I put my phone on speakerphone, is that going to cut off my Bluetooth? You know what? Screw it. We're going to do this speakerphone wise. So, you know what? Sorry, folks. Just testing out some stuff here.
Let's put it back in.
There we go. Just waiting for my Bluetooth to reconnect. We're not going to do the speakerphone thing because the sound sucks on it. So, unfortunately, any callers that call in probably won't be able to be heard on the playback, at least on the YouTube channel. Actually, I will be able to. I keep forgetting that. What am I talking about? I'm just going to overlap the Blog Talk audio onto this video. So, we'll be good.
What did I tell you?
It's been a long week. However, let's go ahead and start talking about we'll go ahead and start this thing off with NXT's Stand and Deliver. Now, Al has been lagging a little bit, but it's like I said, it's been a hell of a week for wrestling, so it's kind of hard to squeeze all this in there. But Al saw night one, not night two. Do you care about spoilers, partner?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm still going to watch
it. Karrion Kross did regain the title from Finn Balor. So that's pretty much the only spoiler I'm going to give you. The other matches, you know, I can't even remember exactly what matches else were on night two. But
I saw that coming, actually. I did see Finn Balor relinquishing it.
But here's the thing that kind of pisses me off about that scenario is that Finn Balor just dropped the title to Karrion Kross after he came back from a shoulder injury after winning it to begin with.
Absolutely.
He won it, and the night after, he relinquished it because of a shoulder injury. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Finn Balor wins the very first ever Universal Championship and has to relinquish it the next night for a shoulder injury. But when he comes back from his shoulder injury, does he get pushed right back to that Universal title and regain it? No. He gets pushed into the mid-card title and some cheesy, stupid storylines and not doing nothing. So I'm glad that they did right by Karrion Kross. Sorry, go ahead.
And then goes back to NXT. I don't know if it was a demotion or a choice that he made. So
I think it was choice. I think it was choice.
I think it was, too. I really do. I think Vince liked him and everybody in the talent industry liked him, but they needed someone to peak for them in NXT at that time.
It was also probably something like creative had nothing for him and they didn't want to lose him, so they, you know, gave him the option going back to NXT.
Now, do you see him coming back up now that he's lost the title?
Maybe. That one can go either way. I'm not sure. It could go either way. Real quick, though, I was going to say that I'm glad they did right by Karrion Kross by giving him his title back after coming back from injury, but I still feel pissed off because why they couldn't do that for Finn Balor. Now, the scenario is going to depend on where WWE goes as of tomorrow, because if they are staying in the Thunderdome, I don't know if Balor is going to go back. If they start traveling again here soon, they might. I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know on that one.
Now, I was wondering your opinion on this. When this BS clears, if it ever clears, you think we'll go back to some house shows?
I think we're a long way from that, but eventually.
Yeah. Because
I think it's money.
It helps the industry, too, obviously, like you said, with the money. But it also helps because some of those matches we never see. But yet, once in a blue moon, the title changed hands at this house show. You know, and that's what I miss, sort of. So.
Yes. The only thing that I say on that is because I am a promoter on a small scale, them not doing house shows helps the independent scene because when WWE or WCW or Impact or whoever was in town, people would go to see them and it would hurt the independents that particular month.
Yes, I do understand that. So,
but, I don't know. Well, anyway, we have our caller on hold here, so let me go ahead and let me get the right freaking mouse because I'm using two computers here. Caller, you're on the line. This is Gina.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, sweetie.
Doing great. Thank you.
Well, we had an interesting show last night. It was our PWX show debuting in Streeter.
You guys ran on WrestleMania Night 1. How many people showed up?
80.
That's not horrible. that's not horrible at all.
Not really.
That's just relatively standard. 50 to 150 is usually standard, so that's not bad.
Right.
Well, the venue we were at was a hotel that used to have an in-ground swimming pool. So they filled in the swimming pool because they couldn't fix it. So the pool area was kind of small, so 80 was about all we were going to get inside.
Hey, I give it to Jimmy for being creative with that venue, that's for sure. I don't know if I would have stumbled across something like that.
Right.
Yeah, we doing really well. We had our staff meeting, and Beast's like, come over here. I'm like thinking, okay, what did I do wrong? He's like, and Devin's like, come stand by me. So I went by and stood by my friend Devin, and he told the guys that between me and Jimmy, we bust our butt all that time doing flyers, and I wasn't expecting to be acknowledged. I just like doing it, and the show was awesome. There was 8 great matches last night.
So
and then we finally knew who the mystery tag team was. What?
I was just going to say, don't ever sell yourself short for the contributions that you do. Yes, you may do it because you love it, but that's why you deserve the acknowledgement that you do it. Because you love it.
Oh, yeah,
it,
I wasn't expecting it, though. And then last night after the show when we were Devin, Colton, me, and Beast were hanging out at the end of the show, he's like, he gives me a hug. He's like, you don't know. He's like, I don't have words to tell you how much we appreciate it. And he told the guy, Gina's not even on our roster, and she busts our butt. And it made me feel good, though. I would never sell myself short. That's for sure.
Well, it should make you feel good.
It does.
Absolutely.
It really should,
from a promoter's standpoint, it's when we find somebody that's willing to bust their butts as hard as the promoter is, we try to hang on to them because we want everybody on the roster to bust their butts that hard. And they just don't. And it's upsetting because they're the ones that are going out there and performing, and they're the ones that are setting the standard for what the product is, but they don't want to go out and promote the product a lot of times. So it is a
right.
And when we find somebody
that's willing to
take care of them.
That's what Beast's point was, that a non-roster person goes out with the promoter, Jimmy, and I do. I go with him a lot. Plus, I'm learning the promotion side, which I love, that a non-roster person is working, like he said, that I bust my butt, and I do. It's like trying to figure out where I can put flyers without getting yelled and screamed at is a challenging thing sometimes.
Well, if you put them, you know, anywhere, if they yell about it, okay, let them get rid of it. But put them up on poles. Put them up everywhere. Put them up on, you know.
I don't believe me, my partner. I know exactly what she's talking about. When I used to do some flyering back in the day,
we would go
to parking lots, like grocery stores and colleges and stuff like that, and tag cars. We put it underneath the windshield wiper. Most of the time, if you go to a supermarket, the place will tell you, okay, you need to stop. You can't be doing that. We were at this college once, Purdue Calumet, over here in Hammond, and the security guard or police officer, whatever, came by and made us go back all the way around and take them all back off.
Wow.
So I understand where Gina's coming from on that one.
Right. And all you're doing is leaving leaflets.
The only places that me and there's only one guest. One gas station corporation, and that's Thornton's. Otherwise, what Jimmy told me to do is you go in, you ask them nicely if you can put it up. If they let you put it up, you put it up. Sometimes they have to get permission from their manager before, and then they'll put it up for you. But
okay.
I
well,
here's
a little tip for you. Here's a little tip for you. Hang on, Gina. Here's a tip for you to narrow that down a lot for you. Stay away from major chains, corporate-type chains. Those guys, they have to have you have to get permission through the actual corporate offices. Go to your mom and pop shops. Always go to your local stores, and 90% of the time, if not more, I haven't gone to a mom and pop shop yet for this show that has told me I can't leave a stack of flyers at their place of business.
Right. Right. And we did find out who the International Alliance mystery opponents were last night.
And who was that?
Youth Gone Wild.
Oh, okay. I know who they are.
The one guy's name is Tommy, and I forget what his tag partner's name is.
Matt Creed.
Okay, because Barbossa comes out screaming at me, "You know who it is." And Jimmy just let me go with it. And I'm like, "No, I don't. If I knew, I wouldn't tell you anyhow." And he's like, "I'm mad." And then I'm like, "Why are you mad?" He goes, "Because we lost the tag titles and you knew." I'm like, "No, I didn't know." And Jimmy's standing in the corner watching the match. We're just laughing at Barbossa the way he was yelling at me. I was like, and I go, "No," but I go, "One thing, I'm glad you lost the titles."
There you
I'm
go.
I'm bold and braver
roll with
now.
It.
I did.
Absolutely.
I thought Jimmy would tell
there's
me.
Nothing
the,
to no.
What?
No. You're perfectly
what were you
fine.
Say?
I'm saying what I was going to say is that Jimmy, I don't know if he set that up on purpose, but he saw a situation that was entertaining, and any smart promoter, if there's a segment that just wasn't planned and it just takes shape organically, you just let it you let it go. You just sit back and enjoy
it.
Oh,
yeah,
and Jimmy
and
saw
it
that,
because,
so
Tyler comes out first, and then Barbossa comes out. He's standing. We made an entryway where the guys could come out between the tables, and he looks me square in the face and says it's my fault. I'm like, "No, it's not," and I didn't know who it was. Nobody knew who it was, really. And it was, and he's like, "I'm pissed at you." And it's like, "I'm sorry, but I'm glad you lost the title." Because, I mean, I've heard of Youth Gone Wild, but I never seen none of their matches. So, actually, last night was the very first match I ever seen of them. They put on
well, they're definitely good talent. They're good talent, definitely. I've worked with both of them before. They are good talent. Damn, I was going to say something. Never mind. Go ahead.
So when I, and then Kato scared this tiny little girl that came with her dad to the show, and she was crying, so they picked her up, put her in the ring. She actually grabbed the, Jimmy spent a lot. We got all new tag belts for PWX now. And I told Jimmy today we were talking, I said, you couldn't ask for a better storyline that you did with Youth Gone Wild and International Alliance. I was like, I sat there watching the match dumbfounded, like, oh, my Lord.
If you're not careful, you're going to find yourself in a manager slot managing somebody.
There you go. Yep.
If it happens, it happens.
That's right. Just roll with it. Enjoy the ride.
Exactly. Because I don't know if you seen my Facebook. I redid my cover photo.
Yeah, I think I've seen it, yes.
That is my two most favorite people in PWX tag team.
Oh, no, then I haven't seen that. I saw the one of your face. So if you changed it, like, in the last 24 hours, then no, I haven't seen it.
Well, it's, I changed the cover photo. There's only two photos in it, and one is me and my friend Johnny Andrews, and then Johnny Andrews, me, and his tag team partner Mike Daniels, 1,000 horsepower. I finally got them to settle down so I can actually have pictures of them, guys. So yeah, it's just those are two. Those two, and my other one's the same, my photo's the same, but yeah, it was funny. I decided I was going to call and check on Logan. Wrong thing to be doing it when a match is still going on. He's like, Mom, it's awful noisy.
Yeah, unfortunately, you got to kind of put your personal life aside from the start of the show to the end of the show unless it's an emergency.
Well, Jimmy said it was okay because with Logan having silent seizures, he knows we talk at a certain time. So it was funny. He goes,
oh, okay.
Mom, it's awful noisy.
Well, yeah,
I said, a match is going on. Then he's like, Mom. I'm like, what? He goes, love you. It's like, love you too. He goes, will you do me a favor? I'm like, what's that? So the Youth Gone Wild match with International Alliance, I taped it so Logan could see it. He was like, one of Bobby Devin's matches, please. So it's on my tablet. So I said, next time he's with me, we'll watch it.
Good job.
Yeah, my tablet video does better than my phone.
Most of them do.
He doesn't ask for very much.
Most tablets do work better for photo or video than they do for phones, so.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay, and then Devin and I went back and watched part of it, and he's like, look how clear it is. I said, I know. I said, I took a video with my phone, and it's like, eh. And then I did this one for Logan, and it's like crystal clear.
Great job.
That is always a plague on independents because a lot of the cameras that are used are older cameras and they're usually not all that clear.
Right.
So if you can come across clear footage, and I mean clear footage of a indie show, you got lucky.
Yeah,
right.
And my tablet. The video
okay,
camera
Gina, you'll
on my
get it.
Tablet works great. So, and then I showed Jimmy. Jimmy's like, "Oh my God, it is clear." I'm like, "I know." I was like, and that was the first video I've actually done of any type of wrestling.
Well, I'll say for your first job, you did a great job.
Yeah.
So did your tablet.
And like I said, Logan don't ask for very much.
Good.
How's your show coming?
So what else
along?
Is going on with you today, or mine? Or are you talking about my wrestling show?
Your wrestling show. I said, how is it coming along?
Well, it's all set. It's all set. I mean, it's just time ticking away. I mean, you saw the preview video I posted.
Yeah. And you know what?
What'd you think of it?
Please, Jed, I loved it. But please
you
don't.
You sure? Because I mean, it wasn't my best work.
I still thought it was good.
Okay.
And if it wasn't, trust me, I would tell you.
I believe that.
I was gonna say, please don't sell yourself short. Because I read where you.
Why?
I mean, comment you made about if you don't succeed. I think you'll do good at this show. I really do.
I know, but I'm one of those kind of people that I don't like to get myself worked up so much believing that it's going to happen, and then it doesn't, and I wind up being crushed. So I really work very hard to keep a balanced mentality of if I succeed, spectacular, and if I fail, I'm prepared for it.
But look at what you told me before I started working, or when I first started working for Jimmy. Now look at where I'm at. I've done a lot.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. And remember what I told you, too. I said, don't put expectations on yourself to do good. Just go out there and do the best that you can. And that's all I'm doing, is I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do the best that I can, and only history is going to decide whether or not I did good or not.
Mm-hmm. But now look at me, a couple of months later, now look at me, busting my butt.
Yes, ma'am. And don't get me wrong, in 6 months to a year, I'm hoping that I can come, be on this show every week and talk about how great the show, the company's doing, but I'm just not going to work myself up to believing that it's going to happen before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything else for us, Gina?
Like I said, I just been working on work for Morris because that's where I'm moving eventually. And I just, like I said, I don't know what I would do without you guys and Jimmy and my extended wrestling family.
Hey, we feel the same way, Gina. Without your call every week, we don't have any callers. We kind of lost most of our callers except for you.
You know what? And I'll keep continuing to call. Our next PWX show is my birthday week, or May 15th. Then we got one June 13th. That's a Sunday show. And then actually, I'm going to go. Gonna go to Elgin and do a show with my buddy Brian Blade and his promotion. So I'm looking forward to that one. The MWA. Yeah, I got a lot of good things happening, going the right direction and everything.
That's what counts.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's going in the right direction.
You're thinking positive.
You're doing good things. You got to keep it going.
I will. I promise, guys.
Good.
Okay.
And I'm going to, I hate to say this, but I'm going to go to that the CSW show Friday in Franklin Park. I'm dreading it.
Well, then
I know
I'll see you there,
because
I'm going too.
Are you really cool?
Yes, I am. I spoke with Steve Boz the other day, and we were talking some business about utilizing some of his students and rookies over here at Crash Test Wrestling. And I figured I owe the man
a
face-to-face, so I figured I'd come out there and... Go ahead.
The only reason I'm going is because I know Steve and TJ have a match against Miller and Cody that night. TJ would be Steve Boz's partner, huh? TJ Steele would be another one to get. What are you laughing about, mister?
Because we're trying to both get a sentence out, and it's kind of coming out in pieces, but I understand what you're saying.
Right.
I don't want Crash Tested to be like the Indiana version of CSW, so I'm not going to use a whole lot of his top guys. I mean, right now I'm using Marche Rocket and Nick Brubaker, but I don't know for how long or not, but... it's not going to be forever. I want to use Crash Tested Wrestling at the very most as a place for his students and rookies to get ring time and experience, and I get affordable wrestlers that I know can work really well.
Very true. Very true. So I'll see how this is going to play out Friday, because I know I ain't going to get static from Cody. I'll get it more from Kristen Cody.
Well, I got Chris Miller for this May 22nd show. I didn't get Cody because I didn't need the tag team. I just needed one person. So, but
that's
come July,
okay,
I'll probably start
today
getting both
when,
of them.
Jimmy called me to tell me what happened to Colton. He goes, guess who called me? I'm like, who? And he's like, Cody called, and he wants to do a come back. And I'm like, let him come back. Please, 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 please. But if he does, he'll come back on our June 13th show because all our tag titles are on the line that show. I know.
All of your championships are on the line?
All of them, yeah.
I love those nights.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yep. I do too.
The heavyweight, the tag team, but the tag team's going to, and then the Rumble, we got a new, because they changed the name, it's just not the Rumble, it's the Hell on Earth Rumble has its belt too. So there's two more that's going to be crowned for the regular matches, and then whichever, I forget what show, then there'll be a four-way for the title. A four-way
okay.
for the title.
Sounds like a fun night, though.
Oh, last night was
absolutely
a blast. I couldn't stop laughing. I woke up today and could hardly talk. I was like, uh-oh. I haven't done so much laughing in my whole entire life.
Well, that makes it a memorable night.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, it does.
Sure does.
All righty, guys. I'll talk to you next Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right,
we'll be here.
Have a great week, hon.
You guys, too. Is there anything
alrighty,
I can do for you, Judd?
They just show up to the show. That's it.
did you ever send me the address for where you're going to be that day?
The show address?
Yeah.
It's on the flyer, dear.
Okay. If it's tiny, I can't read tiny print.
I don't think it's too small, but I can definitely enlarge. I can always message you the address. That's fine. I'll
yes,
try to remember. If I don't get it to you in the next day or two, just message me and ask for it, and I'll send it right to you.
Okay. Have a great second part of WrestleMania since I missed the first part.
Well, that's what replays are for, dear, because it's not going anywhere.
Nope.
Okay. I'll talk to you
next
week.
And if you don't
weekend,
want spoilers,
guys,
don't listen to the rest of the show because we're about to talk about all things that happened last night.
Right.
All right. I'm not going to. I'll talk to you next weekend.
All righty. You have a great night.
You too, guys. Bye.
Take care, hon.
Bye-bye.
I was going to add and watch it before Peacock edits it.
Yeah, right? I know there was a couple of spots where they cursed, and I'm just waiting to hear them censor out the cursing.
Right.
I know, I want to say Drew McIntyre called Bobby Lashley a bitch early in the match, and I know they're going to freaking censor that.
And it's funny.
I
want to
tell you, know what?
Well,
that's a great segue. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's funny because If we were to say something, I would say, well, AEW can say shit on the air, the actual word.
Well,
shit.
That's the argument where I would use that TNT is a cable network, not a
No, but what, we're paying extra to get this. That's my
I know
problem
that's,
with it.
I know, you know, everybody knows my philosophy on that. If you don't want to hear the cursing, don't listen. Don't watch.
That's
you
it.
Know, but everybody's like, well, let's try to conform to everybody's perception of what reality should be so that more people watch. You know, and it's just
right.
Like, come on. You got to draw the line somewhere.
And my philosophy is, okay, lock WWE on Peacock. I'd be willing to put in a four-digit code to unlock it so kids can unlock it or people who are offended by it can unlock it.
Well, that would almost defeat the purpose of having it on Peacock then.
No, I know. I thought about that too, but it just blows my mind that they're going to, you know, censor things that we're, you know, paying extra. Not just our
cable. I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Extra.
Oh, no, absolutely. I thought it was a brilliant idea when I thought that the network was still going to be going, that, you know, the new stuff and the pay-per-views would be on Peacock, and then all the other content would stay on the network. You know, cause I didn't care
right.
if I paid an extra $10 a month for the pay-per-views because it's still better than the $60 a month than getting it through pay-per-views.
And then
so I understand
they
want to make more money.
They say no ads. Well, hell, I saw at least 6 ads last night, and not all of them were Snickers.
I think I saw one. I don't know if you got the premium or not, but I got the $9.99 one.
Yes,
and
so did I.
Any of the ads were all WWE related, except for like I saw one commercial. But it is what it is.
Was Pizza Hut part of their... I know Snickers sponsors it normally. But was Pizza Hut part of it? And I saw a couple ads from them.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? I mean,
maybe
if we're
I
paying
for
paying no ad.
A lot.
Right. No, I sat in front
That's
of the
That's one of those throw your
time.
Hands in the air and just like, what the fuck kind of situations.
Exactly. That's exactly.
I mean, that's
what it
why
is.
People that's why they get away with all this crap because the corporate people that make all the decisions are sitting in their offices like, what are they going to do? Unsubscribe? They don't want the content. They're not going to unsubscribe. We can do whatever we want.
Well, believe me, I'll bet people start unsubscribing if it's going to be.
Edited. I don't.
Especially if they're long. Term fans like us, because all our old content is gone till at least August.
Well, I'm
you know,
sure that it'll come back as they're editing it. They're not going to just dump it on there in August. They'll come back in chunks.
Right. Well, I just read that all the library should be back on Peacock by August.
Right.
That's the only thing I read. So...
And it's going to suck. It is going to suck because you're going to want to watch an old, Attitude Era Raw or SmackDown or pay-per-view or something, and it's going to be severely edited. And it's going to suck.
I saw one the other day. Somebody checked out WrestleMania 6. They pulled out of WrestleMania 6, they pulled the Roddy Piper... Bad News Brown match.
Yeah, because of the freaking half black face paint. I heard about
right.
that.
But they haven't pulled Mae West
Mae Young. Go ahead, sorry. Mae Young
and
what?
But they haven't pulled Mae Young from delivering a hand for a baby. You know.
Well, it's not like the camera was up at a wazoo, you know.
No, that's true. But she was naked at one pay-per-view. Remember, she did get naked for one pay-per-view.
I want to say that was Royal Rumble 2000. And
right.
That was at Madison Square Garden. And she did. And even WWE censored that crap. Thank God. If you watched it live, I feel sorry for you.
Oh, it was nasty. It made me... not interested in boobs, let's say, for a long time.
I would have been appreciative. I would have been, thank God they're not like Mae Young's.
But anyway.
God rest her soul. But Jimmy said that lady
right.
had no fear and no shame. She would do whatever was asked of her.
And
I just wonder
her.
If that was... completely unscripted, or if somebody actually went to May and said, hey, May, this would be a great idea. Why don't you go out there and just strip down?
Yeah.
Or if May just did that for the hell of it, and Vince is in the back shitting himself, like, what the hell is she doing?
Exactly. Exactly.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall and gorilla on that night.
Yeah. But, yes, I'm one of the ones that saw it live, and let's just say it wasn't pretty. We'll leave it at that.
Oh, no, that's fine, man. I cringe just at the replays, even though it's censored, I cringe at it.
She was one of a kind, that's for sure. Her and Moolah. You know, but they were from the same era.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So.
So let's go ahead and roll into what happened last night, partner, because we have about 20 minutes before the kickoff show starts on Peacock, and I don't know what else we're expecting between here and there.
Right.
All right, just checking my little warning there, said I had been skipping, so it hasn't been too bad. I've only gotten one warning so far about skipping, so hopefully the video playback on this will be pretty good.
Good. Good.
So I was going to say it was a nice segue when we first mentioned Drew cursing during his match, but once again, and I understand what they were doing, okay? Sasha and Bianca closing the show on night one was a fine decision. I have nothing against it. They did a great job.
Nope.
But there is no flipping reason whatsoever why Bobby and Drew couldn't go on second to last. I hate it when they open the show with a title with title as an opening match. It drives
right.
me absolutely up the wall. But we
it
kick
does.
Off WrestleMania Night 1 with the WWE Championship against Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. And my feelings aside about it being an opener, put those aside, I don't think I'm going to have hardly anything negative to say about Night 1. There might be one or two little things, but for the most part,
right.
WrestleMania is not letting me down this year. I'm telling you, that does not look like 50% of a crowd. That looks like 75% of a crowd because that thing looks pretty full.
I thought the same thing.
It's been awesome. It's been absolutely awesome to see a live crowd again, regardless
sure
of the rain delay and everything. But it was so refreshing to finally see after 13 months or so of no crowds – to see whatever it is, 45, 50,000 people in attendance, like we remembered. And
right.
it does. It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference in the world.
And I'm like you. I hate kicking off the night with a championship match. It just drives me nuts. Because when you put two people like Drew and Bobby in the opening match, you're almost ruining the rest of the night in a way. Because because if the rest of the card doesn't live up to what that match was, what's the point in watching the rest? It should have gone on second to last. I agree.
They had seven matches, which means there was five matches in between Drew and Bobby and the Sasha Bianca match. It was five matches in between. And like you
right.
said, if none of those matches stepped up and did what were expected, it would have made the entire night a big fat dud.
Yep.
But, you know, they got lucky last night because pretty much every match on the card stepped up and did what they were supposed to do, and I was entertained
right.
pretty much the whole night. But Drew McIntyre did not regain his championship. My wife was very upset because she likes Drew's accent and this and that. There's a lot of people out there. There's about half the people out there are happy that Bobby kept it, and there's half the people out there that are upset because Drew didn't win it. I was one that I didn't care either way because Drew could have gotten it back, and Bobby could have kept it. I think because Drew has been in that main championship storyline for about 15 months now, and he's held the title twice in that 15 months, and this is Bobby's first title reign, that it makes total sense. I kind of predicted that Bobby was going to retain. I just didn't care if he didn't. So, but it was
the
a great match.
The only thing that
I loved it.
I thought it was a great match, too. The only thing that bothered me is Bobby got him in two hurt locks, and Drew never once delivered a Claymore, and I wanted to see if Bobby could kick out of the Claymore, which I know he could, but it just would have been more interesting if Drew would have gotten one, maybe two Claymores on him, and Bobby still get the two hurt locks, you know, on Drew. I just thought it could be more even.
Here's my philosophy on that one. I liked it because it makes the finishing maneuver mean something. I know that, you know, shock moments and, oh, my God, he kicked out of his finisher is a shock moment. But I think they do it way too much. Way too much.
I totally agree.
So,
but
in this particular instance, I thought it was a good move.
It was a good move, but like I said, Bobby got two hurt locks on Drew, and he got out of the first
one. Well, the first one he didn't fully get it locked in, though. They made it clear on commentary, and Bobby made, I don't know if he was paying attention to the camera angles or not, but you could see that his hands never interlocked, so he never locked it in that first time. Drew worked his way out of it, and then I don't remember how he broke free, but then he came up to the second time.
I think it was an elbow.
And Bobby got it.
I think it was an elbow to the face, maybe. I think it was. I could be wrong, but I think it was an elbow to the face that was getting him out of it. He was throwing elbows. And he did.
But then when Bobby locked it in the second time, go ahead.
Now, McIntyre did hit a clothesline, a couple belly-to-bellies, and a neck breaker. But he should have, I don't know. And we don't know the
Remember,
time.
He also hit him with a Future Shock DDT.
I was just going to, yes, exactly. He did hit him with a Future Shock.
And Bobby did kick out of those.
Right.
Now,
but
when Bobby did finally lock in the go ahead.
No, I was going to say the future lock is a great move, but it's not Drew's move.
Well, it was his finisher in his first stint in WWE. That's why he's still using it. It's just not his finisher anymore.
Right.
It's now a signature move.
Sure.
And when Bobby locked in the hurt lock the second time and Drew, I thought that was, it had me cringe a little bit because the full Nelson, the full Nelson's a legit move, people. Okay. If you really lock your hands and you squeeze, you make a person pass out. You'll make a person pass out. That is a real freaking move.
I agree. I've done it. I mean, to people, but not made them pass out. But I've done it to people, and yes, it can make people pass out if you leave it on too long and put enough pressure on the neck. So.
Now, when Drew tried to roll out of it and Bobby held on, I cringed because the pressure, even in wrestling, the pressure of a full Nelson on the back of the neck and the arms and whatnot, and then trying to roll out of it, and Bobby held on to it, I cringed. But Bobby held on to it, and Drew passed out, and Bobby retained. So I was actually quite happy with the way that match ended.
Well, yeah, I have no problem with the result of it at all. So,
second on match on the card was the tag team Turmoil to see who was going to face Nia and Shayna on tonight's event. And it kicked off with Lana and Naomi versus Carmella and Billie Kay. Now, we can go on and on about how tag teams are not utilized like they were back in the day. I remember the very first match of the very first Survivor Series had 10 tag teams involved. 5 tag teams on one side, baby faces, 5 tag teams on the other side, all heels. And if you look at those 10 tag teams, they had a tag team persona. They were wearing matching gear. They had a catchy name, you know, whether it be the Fabulous Rougeaus or whether it was the Killer Bees or the Heart Foundation or Demolition or the Bolsheviks or whatever. They had a tag team theme, and that's what drives me nuts about modern day tag teams is that they don't do the whole theme thing anymore. I love Breezango because they have meshed Tyler Breeze and Fandango into a single idea. So I actually love Breezango. The Usos, I loved the Usos. Forget the fact that they're, you know, twin brothers, but they were a tag team. The New Day is why I like that the New Day has been over for so long, because the New Day is a packaged persona. Yeah.
Natural tag team.
I bring this up because you have Lana and Naomi, two very different people. And then you have Carmella and Billie Kay. Again, two very different peoples. These four people that were just thrown together into two teams so that they can have tag teams. And I hate that. I hated it
too.
When The Miz and The Big Show were together, when Chris Jericho and The Big Show was together. I even kind of hated Rated RKO because Edge was huge, Randy was huge. They just put them together to have a tag team. And
that's just
it.
Why put them together?
Because they tried. I accepted the Rated RKO, though, because the name was catchy because you had the Rated RKO.
Right.
And then they were both, like, equally big. It wasn't like Big Show and Miz, okay? Big Show being with Miz was just trying to bring Miz up a little bit. It almost seemed like Chris Jericho and the Big Show being with Jericho was bringing the Big Show up. But Edge and Randy Orton were like right here. And similar body types and the catchy names. So I was willing to accept that one. But a lot of times, no, I don't like it when they throw two guys together. I hated it when they put Hogan and Edge together.
That was just stupid. Totally stupid.
So the first two teams in the tag team Turmoil, I don't care for. Individually, I think they're good talent, except for Billie Kay. Never been a big fan of hers. But
no,
they're all
Billie
decent
Kay
talent.
Has, Billie Kay, in my opinion, has... She might make it in NXT, but she's not making it up here, you know, in the big leagues.
I disagree. I didn't like her in NXT either. I honestly believe that she's like the Australian version of Eva Marie.
There you go.
She's a pretty face that can't work.
Good analysis.
I mean, her selling is cheesy. I don't buy anything that she does. And if you remove the annoying part of her, she's got nothing. All she has is that annoying thing.
That's just it. I'm glad they saw Mora and her partner. Name's escaping me.
Yeah,
right
sorry, Peyton Royce.
Peyton Royce. Beautiful, could talk on the mic, and she can wrestle. Remember when I was talking
about... Right, but what did they do with both these people? Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. They split up the Iconics. which the Iconics, as a team, I liked them. They grew on me because they meshed. They were both Australian. They both
had
their signature set phrases and their maneuvers, you know, their little Iconic and, you know, whatever. And I got used to them. But what do? They split them up because they want to do something with Peyton Royce. And then they put both Billy Kay and Peyton Royce into a new freaking tag team. What?
Right.
Why?
Yep, I agree. And remember I was saying the match I couldn't remember that I thought might have been the match of the year on a Raw, Asuka and Peyton Royce. Peyton Royce had a great showing against Asuka. Yes, she lost, but she still had a great, great match. So I think she's much more talented than Billy Kay. And if you don't mind,
Carmella and Billy Kay. No, go ahead.
I have to step away for a minute, if you don't mind, but I will be back in.
Not a problem. I can go ahead and keep talking about this match here while you're doing your thing. So go ahead, partner.
All right, thank you.
I stepped out a few minutes ago to have a cigarette, so you're entitled to step away.
Thank you.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, Al's taking care of his business. He's got to go do something for his wife. We'll go ahead and continue talking about the tag team turmoil match. So Carmella and Billy Kay, they get the first victory over Lana and Naomi. No big deal, nothing, whatever, nothing here, nothing there. And then the second team in was the Riot Squad. Now, the Riot Squad is a team that fits that tag team persona kind of genre thing that we were talking about, because Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan, they have cultivated that look, that punk look, and they've been working on every which way they can to make themselves seem like a tag team. I love the Riott Squad, not because I think they're spectacular in the ring, not because I think they're spectacular on the mic, but because I think that they are going out of their way to make themselves look and feel like a tag team, not just two friends that are together. So that's why I love the Riott Squad. And the Riott Squad had a really good showing in this match. There was some weather issues, I believe, that caused a couple of missteps and a couple of issues, because the Riott Squad did get the victory over Carmella and Billy Kay, and the third team in was Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. Well, as you all know, Mandy Rose slipped on the rampway and fell. Big whoop. It was raining. It was wet. You're going to slip. Stop making fun of the young lady. Lillian Garcia fell a half a dozen times, but nobody picks on her because it's Lillian Garcia. So don't pick on Mandy Rose because she slipped. You want to pick on Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, you pick on them about that new ring gear. Okay. I love you, Dana, and I love you, Mandy. But for the love of God, that new ring gear, that sucked. Okay? It looked like a cheap knockoff of Las Vegas Showgirls. I'm sorry. I apologize, but did not like the ring gear at all. Might disagree. You know, the horny teenagers and young, you know, 20-something-year-olds out there probably be like, oh, my God, so much skin. But you know what? I didn't like it. So sue me. Chastise me. I didn't care for it. Now, the Riott Squad went on a nice little win streak here, because the Riott Squad got the victory over Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. Now, take away from the ring gear, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke definitely deserve a bigger push. They have more of that tag team vibe and tag team look, so they should definitely be in that title picture. I think that it wouldn't hurt to let them have the titles for a while, honestly. But that's up to WWE Creative, and we all know how stellar they are. But the Riott Squad did pick up the victory over them, so the final team in the turmoil was Natalya and Tamina. And unfortunately, it was kind of predictable. I think that all of the matches in the turmoil and all of the performances were they were okay. The first half of it, there was some missteps, a couple of slightly botched moments, but overall, from start to finish, it was fine. It was a good match. But it was predictable. It was predictable that Natalya and Tamina were going to come out victors on this one, because the Riot Squad had just won two in a row. And this was their third match. So they're tired, they're exhausted, and here comes the powerhouses, Natalya and Tamina. It was pretty much a given. And because of the way they've been pushing Natalya and Tamina with their speaking out about getting the tag title shots, that's what made it predictable. If they had kept their mouths shut, maybe it wouldn't have been as predictable. Or had the Riot Squad been as vocal as them, and it came down to the Riot Squad and Natalya and Tamina. But it was only Natalya and Tamina that were very vocal about it. As you can see in the background here, folks, I got the kickoff show playing in the background, so we're going to watch the kickoff show together, at least if you're watching the replay with me. We're not streaming live because I'm just doing some testing here. It's going a lot better now that I've cleared off everything off this laptop. I'm getting a hell of a lot better recording here, which may change once I start streaming. So I get my desktop here up to par and get some webcams and whatnot, and we'll try this through my desktop. But at the end of the night, Tamina and Natalya came out with the victory in Tag Team Turmoil. They're going to be facing Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler tonight for the women's tag team titles. Damn it, there's too much glare on that stupid freaking television, so we're not really going to watch it because you can't see it very well. I don't really want to get into the next match till Al gets back here, because we got five matches to talk about over the next hour. And when he gets back on, we're probably going to get his opinion on the rest of the tag team turmoil. But it is weird time in wrestling, people. It's weird. Everybody says it. We're trying to get back to some resemblance of normalcy because of the pandemic. And now that we finally have a live crowd at WrestleMania, how long before Raw and SmackDown go on the road and start doing live shows again? I personally think they need to test the waters and just do pay-per-views on the road. And what's going to happen when they do start hitting the road every week again? Because this whole past year, anybody that's been called up from NXT in the past year, they haven't had to travel. They've been able to stay in Florida, where their families and their houses and their lives are. They haven't had to hit the road with Raw and SmackDown. All right, here comes Al back, so we're back in business here.
Sorry about that, sir.
No, you're fine. You got your wife to take care of. It's all good. I pretty much dragged out the tag team turmoil match while you were gone there.
Okay.
I was talking about how the Riot Squad had a good showing on it. I was talking about how Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke new ring gear looked like a cheap knockoff of Las Vegas Showgirls.
Sure did. But I actually did want that.
And how... Yeah, but they made it very predictable that Tamina and Natalya were going to win that.
Well,
of course, go ahead.
I was going to say, in a way, it's about time they start pushing Tamina again before she has to retire. And she got to do her move. And she got to do Daddy's move off the top rope because Natalya let her. I thought that was very classy.
Actually, Natalya told her. She stopped with the sharpshooter and pointed at her and said, "You up."
Yep.
Like, okay.
You up. Yep. And then she did give the little snooker sign and jumped off.
I thought that was going to cost them the match. I thought Ruby was going to roll out of the way because it took so long to get
too.
To that spot. I thought
or
Ruby,
get her knees up.
I thought
yeah.
for a hot second. Or knees up.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did too.
But no, they
right.
they let her get it and they let her get the victory. And it's great, you know, because Tamina's been in there a lot longer than Nia Jax has.
And if you look at it.
That,
oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that putting Tamina with Natalya is almost like a last-ditch effort to get Tamina up with her performances. And regardless that anybody prefers Natalya in the title picture or holding the championship because she doesn't seem to have much fanfare, Natalya is still one of the best workers on the roster. And
sure is.
One of the best people to train with. She trained Ronda Rousey. She trained Lana, I think.
I think she did too.
So,
and I think
every person
who's
been trained by Natalya has come out and done a good job.
I think if there's anyone that can match power with Nia, it's Tamina. I actually thought would have been a better tag team. You know, for world champions.
Well, that's what they were the tag teams when they first had the titles come out. It was Sasha and Bayley in that Elimination Chamber match to crown the first champions, and it came down to Sasha and Bayley versus Tamina and Nia. And I loved that tag team. They should have had titles, and they should have held them for this whole time. Like, who's going to take these titles from these two big, you know?
Exactly.
Teams.
Right. That's exactly what I thought.
And it would have made both of them bigger.
And they could have held them for well over a year. You know, if that breaks the record. Well, yeah, because the Women's Tag Team Championship hasn't been around that long. It's been around.
It's only been like 2 years, I think.
Yeah, right. So I think those two could have held it.
I think
for
the longest
long
reign goes. I think the longest reign goes to the Iconics.
Right, I would agree.
Again, that's because they weren't defending them on a regular basis.
No, they weren't.
Don't have a title. Do not start a championship if you don't have the intent of defending it at least every other month.
Right. I like the old rule of 30 days. I've always liked that
I do too.
Old rule.
But it does make pay-per-views a little harder because of all the championships
right.
that they have between Raw and SmackDown. It would make every single pay-per-view like a Night of Champions.
Or you could put those championship matches on Raw or SmackDown.
No, you're right. I felt that before too, is that you have your heavyweight title matches on the pay-per-views, and you have your Intercontinental and United States title matches on Raw and SmackDown. Let those be your headliners. You could do all of the in-ring promos and all of the vignettes and everything for your heavyweight championship at the pay-per-views, but have your Intercontinental title and your United States title be the main events of SmackDown and Raw.
There you go.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-freaking-brainer.
Yep. I totally agree with you. I really do.
I have no idea with the hardcore title, with the European Championship, with the 24/7 Championship, the Cruiserweight Championship, all of these, you know, minor titles that they've had over the years, why WWE never took advantage of the Television Championship?
I never understood that either.
Because that is a title that can be defended every single, you know, night that you're on television. With the brand split, it would be on Raw or SmackDown. But either way, every week, the title is defended. This is where you bring in your rookies and your trainees that are making their start to face your TV champion. so that they can get their
yep.
Almost like an audition. It puts your TV champion over being a strong, powerful guy. It's a no-brainer. I don't understand it.
Exactly. That's why you're a promoter. I mean, you understand the business. You understand what it should be, what it shouldn't be, the bullshit matches.
Believe
you know,
me, if I could ever get to a place where I'm running weekly, I fully intend on doing something like that.
And that's a good choice.
I want to do something like that. I want to run a weekly show that is built as like my Raw or SmackDown, whatever. And then once a month, I have my big event that won't be aired on YouTube or whatever.
Gotcha. That's
running weekly is very
that.
Hard to do. No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just very hard to do at this level because
you oversaturate your
area and they're not going to come out every single week. So you wind up getting smaller
exactly.
crowds for your big show.
And that's why.
But I'm working on it. I'm trying to find a couple of different places over here. You know, I can make a square or whatever, you know. Two in northwest Indiana, two northeast Illinois, and then once a month, because I'm right there in the so close to the border, have something right on the border where
right.
all four cities that we run weeklies at come every month to see the big show.
And I still miss, and I know they're long gone, but I still miss jobbers.
Absolutely.
You know, like we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then have your run-ins during that show instead of we see big name every week. So what are we supposed to think come pay-per-view time? We just saw a Raw or, you know, whatever, or a SmackDown.
Well, here's my problem. Because people are always upset because somebody got released or somebody's asking for their release.
Right.
And here's why, people. Because every single time they do a superstar shakeup or they do a call-up or whatever it is, they always make it sound like they're the next big thing, like they are the next major
Bingo.
Attraction. And
yep.
not everybody can be the main attraction. So
nope.
who's going to get pushed down the card? Most likely the person who just came up. Because if they don't deliver, and if they don't deliver in a freaking big way, they're going to get pushed to that bottom of their card in a heartbeat. EC3, No Way Jose, Aleister Black,
right.
Andrade.
Aleister Black.
How
yep.
many of these
yep.
freaking guys pushed right down to the bottom of the card, given some bullshit storyline like feuding with your partner over Zelina Vega's manager
yes.
stuff or whatever it might be.
And then, you know, you get guys that, okay, come back, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're in the title picture. Why?
Well, that is one thing that I'm happy about with Edge, because Edge is not doing this
right.
short term. It's not a one, you know, it's not like Goldberg coming in and getting a shot at McIntyre.
Edge
really trying to make a final big run.
Right. Edge, I agree with. But there have been so many over the years that, okay, let's say they didn't lose their title to injury. They just lost. They disappear 6 months, come back, boom, they're in the title picture. Why? It doesn't make sense because you're pushing other guys back down that ladder. But Edge, I agree with because...
It depends on the scenario. I mean, honestly, if somebody doesn't lose their title because of injury,
right?
That makes sense.
Edge relinquished his title. He didn't lose it.
Yeah.
He relinquished it.
So did Finn Balor. So did
Karrion
Kross.
Right.
Oh, you're talking about somebody who loses the title? No, you said that they don't lose the title.
Well, no, I'm saying...
Or I'm confused.
Let's say you lose the title legitimately, 1, 2, 3 in the middle of the ring.
But you got injured in the process.
Right. And then you're out 6 months.
Okay, then yeah, absolutely. When you come back, you should start at the bottom again.
Absolutely. That's the point I was trying to make because Edge deserves this shot, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, he had a couple of really good matches with Randy Orton last year. Unfortunately, he got injured, so he was out for a while. He comes back at the Royal Rumble again. Comes in number one at the Royal Rumble. Goes through that whole thing. Now, I agree with Daniel Bryan that Edge should have had, you know, a couple of little matches on SmackDown in the meantime.
Sure.
I ain't going to throw a hissy fit over it. He won the Royal Rumble. He's entitled to that championship match.
Exactly. And that's the thing, because not all Royal Rumble winners get that chance because they push him back or they got injured after the Rumble or whatever the case may be.
I don't believe on that one. I'm pretty sure that every Rumble winner has gone on to a title match at WrestleMania. I can't remember one that didn't.
Okay. I would honestly have to look that up, but I thought there was a couple that did win the Royal Rumble that never got their championship. I could be wrong. Definitely. But I think there was at least.
They might have lost in the championship match, but
right.
They should have at least gotten their match. I don't know. Next on the card, though, we had Seth Rollins versus Cesaro.
Great match.
Flippin-tacular.
Great match.
And I was so thrilled that Cesaro got the victory. It is long overdue to have some sort of a push for Cesaro in a singles capacity. So I'm very happy for Cesaro on that matter.
Yep.
I think that the finish was real nice because he did that airplane spin with no hands, which you can't do that with everybody. But with somebody.
That was pretty.
Yeah.
My 47 years or whatever, 47 years of following the business, I have never seen a no-handed airplane spin.
I want to say I've seen Cesaro do that once before.
Okay.
But I want to say it was early on in his career. Don't quote me on that one. But I know that that was probably something he did on the indies before coming to WWE. Nevertheless, he does the no-hands airplane spin, flips Seth Rollins off of him, and I can't remember where it was, but he transitioned very nicely into the second what's the damn finisher's name?
Let me think.
Neutralizer?
UFO. Yes, the neutralizer. It was the neutralizer.
And gets the 1, 2, 3. And yep. his emotional response afterwards was, I believe that was organic. I don't think that was acting. I think he was so thrilled to have his first singles win at WrestleMania. And hopefully it means that he's going to get up into that title picture now.
I hope so. Him and Nakamura both.
I'd like to see Cesaro, though.
Him and Nakamura.
Nakamura's been there once.
Yeah, but for a very short time.
I know, absolutely. Nakamura won the Royal Rumble but lost to AJ at WrestleMania. So, I mean, I think he... Did he have the title at any point, or did he? I can't remember if he had the title or not.
No, I don't think he's ever had the world or the. No, I don't think he has. I know he's won.
And Nakamura's English has gotten a lot better, so his promos are getting better.
It has. It's still better than Asuka's.
No, Asuka's ain't that bad now either. She doesn't go on to her Japanese tirade, but her English is getting
better. I think it's funny to watch her, though. I love her interviews. I really do.
It's so weird. she's rambling. I mean, granted, the Japanese culture are probably listening to her like, oh, my God, that is so meaningful and impactful. But if you don't speak
right.
Japanese, it really sounds like gibberish. It sounds like she's just making up noises. And
right.
you're watching, but yet you're still so entertained because of the way she delivers it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm sure it does mean something to the Japanese audience, which is a big audience.
Speaking something, definitely.
Which is a big audience, you know, for the WWE, I believe.
No, absolutely. 1,000,000%. So I'm sure probably they will continue the Seth Rollins angle with Cesaro. Hopefully not too much longer.
Right.
Hopefully, I'd like to see them just move on to something else. But knowing, you know, observing the creative process that we see unfold every week on television, I just feel like they're going to stick with this storyline for another month or two.
Right.
But next on the card, we had New Day versus AJ and Almas. This was for the SmackDown title, the Raw title. This is for the Raw.
All right.
No, SmackDown titles. Sorry. No. Well, I'm going to get this right sooner or later, I'm telling you. No. Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode is
Raw.
SmackDown titles,
yeah.
And New Day is Raw
Championship. Raw.
So it's for,
right.
for the Raw Championships.
It
now,
pretty
I
much
heard,
went how I thought.
Oh, of course. But, of course, there's also people out there picking on the match, saying that Almas didn't do anything. And I'm watching this video on YouTube, and I don't know. I'm sure that a lot of people watch the WrestleMania stuff on YouTube. And sometimes they make good points. Sometimes I think they have stupid points. This was one of their stupid points. It's that Almas didn't do anything. Like, because he's 7'4".
Yeah. I mean, he made...
He's not supposed to do much.
He made New Day look like, you know, little people almost. And...
I mean, Kofi and Xavier come in the ring. They're trying drop kicks. They're trying, you know, to kick him in the back of the leg. They're trying this. They're trying that. Kofi tried to come off with
right.
an axe handle off top rope, and Almas catches his hand and flings him, which I thought almost pulled his shoulder out. I don't know. But nevertheless, none of their offense matters because the two of them standing on each other's shoulders would barely be as tall as Almas. That was
exactly.
the way that match was supposed to flip and go.
Right. That's exactly what I thought.
AJ started a match. Now, here's the thing that bothered me was that they did start the match off with Kofi and Xavier saying, no, no, we want AJ. That's very heelish.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, I got where they were going with that. But at the end of the day, it came off a little heelish. Like, no, we don't want the big guy that we know is going to kick our ass. We want the little guy we got a shot with.
Right. And AJ took his bumps the way he was supposed to. You know, made it
Absolutely.
Look great.
And it was classic. Up until
so.
It was classic tag team wrestling. They cut the ring off. Kofi and Xavier were doing, you know, rapid tags. I mean, even Xavier,
right.
and this also came off heelish, is that Xavier started yelling out to the crowd, this is tag team wrestling. We're cutting the, he actually said, we're cutting the ring off.
Yep. That's what they did for a
and
while.
It just sounds like heelish things. It just sounds like heelish things.
You know,
and
they did,
the
that, did do that. They did do
almost
that for a while.
Tag.
They did cut off. Yeah.
No, of course. No, that's standard tag team stuff, is you're supposed to cut the ring off, but usually
exactly.
it's the heels that are cutting the ring off, keeping the baby face from making the tag.
Right.
That's why I said
you got a
all
seven,
of that what they were doing was very heelish.
When you got a 7'4", 400-pound man sitting outside waiting to come in and kick your ass, you know, what else can you do? So.
I accepted it. I still like the match.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought it was a good match.
I'm intrigued.
I have no.
I'm intrigued to see what Almas is going to do in the future, because I'm sure we're going to see more out of him than just what we saw last night.
But I'll bet you in 6 months they bury him again, just like every other giant that comes in.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible. Possible simply because that's WWE. They'll bury people in a heartbeat sometimes for no reason that we know of. But
right.
As long as Almas is good, you know, a decent person behind the scenes, as long as he busts his ass, I don't think it's going to happen. He's too big, and he's getting a huge push with AJ.
Right.
I'm sure.
Right.
I think they're going to keep them together for a while longer, 6 months to a year, whatever, and it's going to come down to AJ getting tired of Almas and starting to abuse him, so that when they split, they try to make him into this big baby face.
Sort of like Shane and Sean and Diesel.
Right. I would assume so. That would be the smart way to go. Because
right.
It always usually kills a giant when you split up a team and make the giant into the heel.
Right. I agree.
The main example of that is Enzo and Taz.
Great example.
Nobody gave a damn about Taz hardly as a babyface on his own, let alone as a heel.
Right.
And
no, I agree.
Almas has more charisma than Taz did. I can tell you that right now. I can see a lot more charisma and a lot more mic skills out of Almas than I ever saw out of Big Cass. So
100%
I think he'll be around for a while.
And
they have a shortage of big guys.
Oh, yeah.
Now that Mark Henry's retired, Big Show's retired. Well, Big Show jumped ship and is retired from in-ring, you know.
We had talked about that maybe a month or two ago, about how the guys were getting smaller. Now you finally got this giant, you better use him right.
As long as he works, he's good to work with behind the scenes, I think he'll be there for a long time. Because they need that next big monster wrestler. Mark Henry, Big Show, Kane, Undertaker, they're all retired. You have nobody left to be that big monster anymore.
Nope.
So now they got to cultivate a new one.
Braun
can. And Braun is definitely a monster kind of guy, but there's a difference between a monster like Kane / Braun and a giant like Big Show / Almas.
There you go. There's 6'8", 6'7". Against 7'3", 7'4", a true giant.
Exactly. There's a difference between a monster and a giant.
Right.
Braun
I,
is a monster.
Absolutely.
Almas is the giant.
Right. So.
Okay, so Almas and AJ defeat the New Day. They are the new Raw Tag Team Champions. Again, a little predictable, but the matches are good. You know, so it's,
right.
They're not exactly knocking people out with not being predictable, but the performances are still being top-notch to where it's not mattering.
Exactly.
Speaking of Braun, the next match on the card was Braun versus Shane. And now this one I absolutely loved because I was so afraid that Shane McMahon was going to sneak out of the ring somehow and get that cheap, you know, I got away from you victory. The only thing I hate about cage matches, is, you know, climbing
especially
over the top is kind of one thing. because climbing over the top takes effort. You have to climb up to the top. You have to hang over. You have to climb down the other side. I hate it when they slip out the freaking door. It's like, seriously?
Yep. But I thought Shane almost had it when he was halfway down that the cage. And
I know, right? I was like, really? Are they going to do this?
Yeah.
But as soon as he put his hand through the cage and started taunting Braun, I saw that part coming. He grabbed his hand. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, how is he going to get Shane back up over the cage? Because if he lets go of his hand, Shane's going to drop to the floor. And then he starts yanking the cage off of its brackets, and I'm like, okay.
I'll bring him through the cage.
So that was good. That was really good. I liked that.
That was a good match.
And now Shane's dove off of the top of the Hell in a Cell every single time he's been in a Hell in a Cell match. But nevertheless, you know, Braun dragged him up to the top of the cage and then threw Shane McMahon off, which is always going to get that holy shit chant. But it was still good nonetheless.
I agree. So,
Riker and Elias got involved a couple of times. Which is another reason why I thought Shane was going to sneak a win. But
they need to do something with Elias. He's got
talent. I agree.
And this guitar bullshit ain't working. You know, it's
I'm getting tired of it myself, too, honestly. I don't want him to change gimmicks. I just want him to lose the guitar.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't even do his entrance anymore where, you know, they announce him and he does his little guitar shtick. He doesn't even do that anymore.
Exactly.
So now the guitar's really become pointless.
Exactly. So that was a great match. So.
I'd like to see him do something with Riker, too, because 6 years ago when he was in Impact as Gunner, he started to get a little momentum, and I loved him as Gunner. So when he showed up as Jackson Riker, I was really hoping that they were going to do something with him, but they haven't done squat with him yet. He's doesn't have a whole lot of years ahead of him.
I thought that was Gunner, but I wasn't positive.
That dude looks – that's too much of an original look to not know who that was.
Exactly. I thought that was Gunner, though, but I didn't – you know, I was not – it wasn't clicking in my mind, but I – damn, now that you said
gotcha.
It. So.
One of those, I know that guy's name, what the hell is his name?
Yep. Just like when, who was it, Joseph Parks won the 24/7 belt for those few seconds. That's Abyss. You know?
Well, hell, he played Joseph Parks in Impact. He played his
personality
thing for a while.
Played the lawyer. He was the lawyer.
I was surprised to see him, though. Yeah, he was supposedly Abyss's brother, Joseph Parks.
Right.
Because Abyss's shoot name was Chris Parks.
Chris Parks,
and,
yes.
Then they started playing this a split personality angle.
Right.
Which I loved. I absolutely loved that whole angle.
Oh, I did too.
I
thought it was excellent.
But when he came out and won the 24/7 title, I was a little shocked because actually it was before that. I apologize. Joseph Park made his WWE debut in a promo spot with AJ Styles, I think. I don't know if it was as an attorney or something, but
that sounds about right.
He did have a spot with AJ.
Right, that sounds right.
And when he came out, oh, man, my jaw dropped because it's like, oh, they got Abyss now, too. So they really picked up a lot of the top TNA guys over the last 5-6 years or so. And I'm happy for them because the original crop of TNA guys were so good, and they just got so misutilized when Dixie took over. Because Dixie brought in Bischoff and Hogan and, you know, WWE guys like Booker T and Kurt Angle and this and that, and Christian Cage brought Sting back, brought Steiner back, you know, and it's like
Dixie ruined the TNA.
You got this whole crop of guys that are tearing it up that puts you on the map.
That's exactly right.
Why would you not continue pushing them?
Nope.
So, when TNA really started going downhill and these guys started popping up in NXT, I was over the moon about it. I was so happy to see these guys continuing their career so that I as a fan can keep watching them so that they can freaking keep having their jobs and everything. So, AJ's debut at the Rumble blew me away. I marked out for that one.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Because sometimes they can keep kayfabe. Sometimes, like when the Hardys made their return at WrestleMania a few years back, when AJ made his debut at the Royal Rumble, sometimes they can keep kayfabe. And like Edge's return last year in the Royal Rumble. You know, and those are the moments that will always remain like the top shock moments of all time. And those are the ones that people can appreciate, not a cheap storyline swerve shock moment.
I agree.
Like,
let's
use this Apollo Crews angle, you know, him turning heel and pulling out this Nigerian persona.
Yeah.
That's not a shock moment. That's not a swerve. That's a bad idea.
Right. Absolutely bad idea.
Next on the card, we had Miz and Morrison versus Damian Priest and Bad Bunny. Before I say anything about this match, I'm going to ask your opinion.
Actually, I thought it would be a bullshit match. I thought they stole the show. Bad Bunny was pretty good for his debut. I mean, he took bumps well. He delivered well. And I think the right team won because of Damian Priest, because he needs to be pushed now. Bad Bunny, I don't know.
Damian Priest getting pushed, I'm not worried about that because he literally just got called up at Royal Rumble. So it's not like he's been, you know, squandered for years. I have no doubt that Damian Priest is going to be around for a while, and I'm pretty sure that they've got big plans for him going into the future. Now, yes, you are absolutely 100% right. The match was one of those, almost like when Ronda Rousey came in, everybody's terrified. Oh, she's going to do horrible. She's not a wrestler, this and that.
Exactly.
When Pat McAfee came to NXT and they were going to say, oh, Pat McAfee, he's going to suck. What is he doing? But these entertainers that have come into the business, and yes, that is my wife in the background, folks. She's about to bolt out a camera angle here in a heartbeat, but these entertainers that have come into the business over the last few years, they've taken the business seriously. When guys like, and no disrespect because William Shatner's my man, I'm a Trekkie, you know, and I love Captain Kirk and all that, but William Shatner, he didn't really, you know, take anything seriously, plus he was old when he had his moments. Drew Carey didn't take it seriously.
What's the baseball player that got
tombstone by Kane a few times.
Pete Rose. But he took...
All he did was take a couple tombstones.
Right. I don't think... In my opinion, I don't like the celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame because the one that really irks me is Drew Carey. Him being in there.
I agree, because I think the only thing he ever had to do with WWE was that one Royal Rumble where he came in and eliminated himself. I'm pretty sure that was literally like the only thing he ever did. Now,
exactly.
Most of them I get, you know, because they've come back time and time again. You know, Schwarzenegger had a couple, Ozzy's had a few, Shatner's had a few, you know, so I don't have a problem with the celebrity wing. But, yes, Drew Carey being in it, no.
That drives me crazy. I don't even like him on The Price is Right. I loved his
never
comedy shows.
He's not Bob Barker.
Exactly.
It's just like you're never
going to
have another Alex Trebek.
Right, exactly. I mean, you just
But now in
can't.
10, 15 years, when a new generation of people are watching it, they're not going to know who is, you know, they'll know that Bob Barker and Alex Trebek, you know, existed, but they won't really have experienced them for a long period of time. So all they're going to have is Drew Carey and whoever takes over for Alex Trebek.
Exactly.
It's going to be the same thing with Wheel of Fortune when Pat Sajak passes away. Somebody's going to take his place. Somebody's eventually going to replace Vanna White.
Right.
You know, and people are just, they're not going to accept it right away. But 10, 15 years, they're going to know that the history existed, but they're not going to have experienced it, so they're not going to care.
Right. But as far as the match goes, this match, I feel it did steal the show in a way. In a way. Because Sasha
It stole the show because nobody expected...
Bunny,
I thought we were talking about Miz and Morrison.
Yeah, Bunny. I didn't expect Bunny to perform that well.
I'm always skittish about it, but I'm starting to get a lot more comfortable with it. This is one of those things that you were talking about earlier about people coming in for these short periods of time just to get some ratings and this and that, and then they're off to do whatever they're going to do. Because Pat McAfee hasn't come back to NXT for a while because he's got all of his other projects. And it's like, well, why did you push him to be the head of this faction if he was going to be a short-term guy?
Right.
And Bad Bunny, after tonight, last night, I should say, he's probably on his way back to whatever performances he has
before.
Lined up.
Sure.
But I give them all the credit in the world. Like I said, Ronda Rousey, Pat McAfee, Bad Bunny, they put in the hard work to learn the craft. They just didn't go out there and half-ass it because, I'm just doing this for one night. I don't need to be good at it. People are actually starting to take this craft seriously.
Right.
So I was very happy with it. All right, we got about 18 minutes left before night two starts. Which brings
Final
us to our
match.
Main event from last night, which was Sasha versus Bianca. And as we stated at the top of the show, it was a spectacular match. I don't remember if we talked about this on the air or if this was before we went on the air, but Sasha has – I've been waiting for her to re-dye her hair because her roots were showing so bad, but I was like, okay, she's going to go natural again. I was like, okay. But then she came out last night, fresh dye job and everything. She had these green streaks right up in here. And she had changed, she tweaked her gear just a little bit to where it seems like a darker version of Sasha, but it was still in the Sasha vibe. I thought she looked great. I thought she performed great. I almost was worried, though, because before the bell rang and they were looking at each other, acknowledging that they were two women in the main event of WrestleMania Night 1. Bianca was getting very emotional before the match started. I was afraid that her emotions were going to interfere with her performance.
I thought that, too. I really did. Because the way she was crying and, you know... And I understand the emotion, especially from the women. You definitely would not see
that
emotion.
Well, that's sexist.
I didn't mean it as sexist, but yeah, it might have come out as sexist. And I apologize to every woman out there listening if it did sound that way. But
you're lucky your wife's not in a room, Al. She'd have slapped you upside the head.
It's proven fact.
Oh, so are you emotional?
It's proven fact women get more emotional than men 90% of the time. So that's why I use that little reference there. But as far as the overall match, I thought it was excellent. I want to know how Sasha's feeling after getting hit with that.
Dude. I swear to God, all these years that Bianca has used, she doesn't use it all the time, but when she does, I couldn't tell if that was a sound effect or if that was the actual hair sound. That's the actual hair making that sound. It's hair,
like
people,
a whip.
And it sounds like a freaking gunshot.
It did. I mean, the way she hit her in the belly with it.
You like, see after the bell, and Sasha's looking, you know, the cameraman's right on her, and she's like, look at this shit. This was her hair that did this shit to me.
I wonder sometimes if there's like a little stick in there that holds it together like that, that might have made that sound. I don't know.
I've never braided. I tell you right now, I would come back to the gorilla position and say, give me a kendo shot any time of the freaking year, but don't ever make me take that hair whip again.
I definitely agree, because that was nasty. That was nasty. It's called the KOD, I guess. I don't know.
No, that's her finishing maneuver, the torture rack into the face.
Oh,
buster.
Yeah,
that's KOD.
After she got it.
The hair whip is just a hair whip.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that, so. You know, with Bianca being sort of new.
She is, and she's very young, too. So, I mean, I've always been
kind
of curious, you know, why they decided to push Bianca so fast so soon. And I, you know, if Bianca steps up and she does a great job, you know, more power to her. But I'm always scared when they push somebody, you know, fast and early, because a lot of times it's too much too soon and they burn out and they wind up at the bottom of the card. And I think that's a good talent.
Right. And I sort of see that. I don't sort of see it, but I could see that happening to Omos if he's not careful.
It could. Here's my thing about that is that just a handful of examples of guys who got pushed early and then wound up not doing squat.
Right.
And yes, he's there still, and yes, he's still doing stuff. But Sheamus was pushed real hard right out of the gate. He won the ECW championship right out of the gate when they dissolved the ECW brand. And he got drafted over to Raw, I believe it was. Jesse Ventura put Sheamus in a title match with John Cena, and it was just a tables match, and they made him WWE champion right out of the gate, gave him the King of the Ring victory within his first year or so. And then he just kind of floundered around. Anytime he ever got a title, he just wasn't getting the response that you would expect. So he wound up floundering around up and down the card, not doing much. Jack Swagger got pushed real hard when he first showed up in WWE.
Yep.
And then he winds up doing nothing with – who was he with?
What's his name?
I know
Seth Dutch
Colton
Mantel.
Was his manager.
Dutch Mantel.
Well, Dutch Mantel / Zeb Coulter, but there was might have been Cesaro. I can't even remember, but there was a third person in that group.
There was.
That wound up not doing anything. And then Jack Swagger leaves for a couple of years, shows up in AEW. Alberto Del Rio comes out, has one of the best freaking rookie years in history. And then after he does... After he
faced, I want to say it was when he faced Edge at WrestleMania.
Right.
He just never did anything after that.
No,
for some
and then
reason,
he
lost
trouble.
His momentum. Nobody cared about it.
And then he got in trouble with the boss, and you know, for
well, that's behind
things
the scenes. I'm
said.
Talking about on camera.
Oh right, okay, okay. But you're right; he didn't do much. But that because that might be because of what he, the way he reacted to the people behind the scenes. I mean, he
some,
was
well,
a great
yeah,
wrestler. He was,
you know, if you're not giving. I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying that when he lost the title or failed to win the championship against Edge at WrestleMania, he lost
right.
his fanfare for some reason. Because during
exactly, that's true.
What was it? No. I take it back. Let me rephrase. It was Dolph Ziggler cashed in the Money in the Bank on Del Rio. Del Rio was a babyface, and Dolph Ziggler was a heel, and in one night
right.
they flipped. Because
right.
Rio kept trying to be a babyface, and they were booing him, and Dolph Ziggler was trying to be a heel, and they were cheering the hell out of him.
I now remember
I think
that
was
yes.
the turning point for Del Rio. And Del Rio never rebounded from that.
I would totally agree with that. Because now that
you said
that.
And then when he comes back, he left for a while. Yeah, he left for a while, then he comes back, and then what do? They put
right.
him in a little four-man faction with who the fuck was it? Sheamus, Rusev, Nakamura?
Yes, it was Nakamura.
I
want to
say Rusev and Nakamura was a tag team briefly right after that.
They were.
So
they,
Sheamus,
yes,
Nakamura, Rusev, and Del Rio as a four-man, you know, foreign faction. It's like...
Exactly.
Always making things racial out there. Why do they all
yep.
have to be foreign?
Exactly.
If you're gonna be, if you're gonna have a faction of a variety of nationalities, put an American in there too. Make it
right.
a all well-rounded faction of nationalities.
Well, the original Hurt Business. I'm not saying anything against them, but who was it?
No,
with Ron Simmons.
You mean the Nation of Domination?
Nation of Domination. They had the big
it was Ron Simmons, Crush, Sadio Vega.
Right.
I'll agree with you on that one. 100%. The first incarnation of the Nation of Domination was not racial. The second incarnation with Godfather, Mark Henry, The Rock, and D'Lo Brown and
right.
Farouk, that one came off more racial because it was all black.
Right, and I don't understand.
I don't care. It didn't bother me. It was a great faction. It didn't bother me that they
it
were
was.
All black instead of, well, you know.
It was. But we don't have to make it
point
that way.
Saying. Yes. I'm sorry, folks. The racial thing is a really hot button with me because the only reason why racism and racial discrimination is always going to be a part of our society is because we keep making racial boundaries ourselves. We are freaking human beings. And I know this is coming from some white dude. Forget about the fact that I'm white.
Me
drop,
too.
Drop the racial boundaries. Just be good to each other. One
That's
human
it.
Being being good to another human being.
That's it. What's the problem? Just be good to everyone. You know, it doesn't make sense to make anything racial. Because we're not, it's like I think I told you off the air, and I'm not afraid to say it now. Racism won't end until both sides agree to end it.
It's all sides, but yeah.
All sides. Yeah, not just both sides. All sides.
It doesn't matter whether you're Oriental, whether you're Arab, whether
right.
you're Russian, German.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter
exactly.
what your nationality. If you have a problem with another nationality, then you're just keeping the problem going by making it about race.
Exactly. It's never going to end.
Now, if you want to start a war because one place in the world cuts their pizza in a different way that you prefer to cut your pizza in, and you want to start a war over it, you're kind of stupid, but okay.
Yeah.
Just don't make it about skin color.
No. Doesn't need to be. It really doesn't need to be.
That's enough on that. That's enough on that.
Right. Right.
We only got 5 minutes left here, partner, so we are going to wrap this sucker up because, as you can see in the background, sort of, is a little too much glare. That didn't work out as well as I was hoping it would.
Right.
We are about to kick off WrestleMania Night 2, which I know my wife is just so happy because I've just been watching wrestling all week long.
Now, when I come back on tonight.
Well, four nights in a row, I went out door dashing, so... Four nights in a row, I went out door dashing. I watched it after she went to bed so she can kiss my fat, hairy ass.
When I come back on, do I use the same link you sent me before tonight? Or are you going to send me?
I'm going to leave it up. So I'm not even going to close it out. So we're just going to go ahead and leave it like this. I'm going to stop recording, and then I'll start recording again for the second half of the show. So I don't even worry about that.
Right.
Has your friend showed up yet? You said your friend was going to show up a half hour ago.
Yeah, he's out there talking to my wife. I can hear him talking to my wife.
Oh, man, I was hoping to meet him.
You might meet him tonight.
You got
something
for your butt in there. Okay, well, fine. Have a friend over and then not bring him on the show. Come on.
I told him to come back
here. Show him
what
you're doing. You'd be proud of this show, even though we're like the only two people that give a damn about this show next to Marquez.
No, I am proud of this show.
I'm hard on myself. I don't care.
You're harder than yourself.
Again, we are going to be back right after the show. We're probably going to be on the air at 10 o'clock, but Al and I will not start the post show until after the main event. If the main event is still going, we are going to sit quietly and watch the main event until it is over.
Right.
So,
right.
If you want to give us a call on the post show, feel free at 646-668-8672. We're going to be here again for the post show, and I'll probably get yelled at a couple of times. Be quiet, I'm going to bed. but I don't care. It's not the first time I've been.
Right.
I sleep on the couch anyway. What's she going to do, kick me out of the bedroom? I sleep on the couch anyway.
All right.
But on that note, folks, we are going to, we got like a minute 45. Real quick. Nah, screw it. We'll see you back here in three and a half hours, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy WrestleMania Night 2, and we will be back about 10 o'clock. So, partner, I will talk to you then.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
My pleasure. Have a good one.
My Two Cents on Wrestling, the only place to relive the best and the worst of professional wrestling of all time.